Advent is the beginning of a new year of grace. And this Advent, on December 12th, we will gather to celebrate the end of our Golden Jubilee on December 12th with a Mass commemorating the 50th anniversary of the establishment of Prince of Peace as a parish. You will remember that we opened the Golden Jubilee last year on the Feast of St. Joseph, when we marked the 50th anniversary of the permission given to start the Greer Taylor's Endeavor, the mission of St. Mary's Parish, to the east side of Greenville. It's a great opportunity to remember where we have been, celebrate who we are, and chart the course for where we're going. In the Code of Canon Law, everybody's favorite spiritual book, we have a definition of what a parish is. A parish is a certain community of Christ faithful, stably established within a particular church, whose pastoral care, under the authority of the diocesan bishop, is entrusted to a parish priest as its proper pastor. The code goes on to say, as a general rule, a parish is to be territorial. That is, it is to embrace all Christ faithful of a given territory. Where it is useful, however, personal parishes are to be established, determined by the reason of the right, language, or nationality of the faithful of a certain territory, or on some other basis. Now, I never thought in my life that I would wish you a happy Advent with a quotation from canon law, but here we are, right? I think this definition and description means something for us. Our non-Catholic brothers and sisters often talk about looking for a church home, right? And often they'll kind of shop around until they find what they think is the right fit for them and their families. As Catholics, we're not actually supposed to do that, right? The general expectation is that you just go to your territorial parish, the one closest to you. And the parish then has an obligation to provide pastoral care to people of that territory. Right? Now, you might be surprised to hear this, but the converse of this is that we do not actually have an obligation to provide normal, ordinary pastoral care to people in another territory just because they ask. Right? So I'll give you an example. I once had a sick call in the middle of the night with a daughter distraught because her mother was dying. She was looking for a priest. And she goes to the fount of all wisdom and knowledge, the internet, right, and starts calling phone numbers. And in the middle of the conversation, I realize, wait, that hospital doesn't sound familiar, right? And so I'm looking it up, and I'm like, I can't go. She was absolutely livid. How do you dare not go to my mother in her hour of need? I said, honey, you're calling Prince of Peace in Houston, Texas, okay? So I can't get there even if I wanted to, but I was able to find the number of the parish there and call, and so that wonderful lady was taken care of, right? Incidentally, we don't actually know what the boundaries of the parish are, because the boundaries proposed in 1974 were never actually finalized, and the whole area looks totally different than it did back then. So I always joke with the Bishop of Charleston that my parish is the world, right? So it's like, well, if you're not going to draw me any territory, then I get all the things, right? In the United States, we developed this system of registration and the use of envelopes to track giving and mass attendance. And so Catholics became a little bit less Roman and more roaming, right? And so we actually have people from all over who consider Prince of Peace their spiritual home. Canon law describes the parish as a certain community. The adjective certain means that it's not a formless void of random people, places, or things. But note that the definition also is to embrace all of Christ faithful of a given territory. Now, territory has been expanded now to include not only Catholics who live between certain latitudes and longitudes, but also to those who consider it a spiritual home, and demonstrate that by registration. But note that the verb here is embrace. Not include, tolerate, or recognize. There's a human emotional component here. Even though, strictly speaking, Christ faithful are Roman Catholics in full communion with the church, there are also those who belong to Christ by baptism and those who belong to God by being created by him. Non-Catholics and even non-Christians may not be members of a parish as such, but pastoral concern is for them too. The other word that is used here is community. A parish is not just a random association of unrelated individuals. If we are all brothers and sisters in Christ by our baptism, we are family because the water of baptism is thicker than the blood of natural families. And community means one together. The bonds of communion are real. We are one with the successor to the apostles, the Bishop of Charleston in this place, and under the Vicar of Christ and the successor to St. Peter, the Pope. Think about how at every Mass, we remember Leo our Pope and Jacques our Bishop. And also, in the Latin text, we use this word circumstantes, which means the one standing around the altar, which is you. We can't be the church without you, the circumstantes. We can't be the church without the bishop. We can't be the church without the Pope. We are living out our vocation as baptized Christians in full communion with the church established by Christ by being of one heart and mind in a certain community, and for us, that's Prince of Peace. In South Carolina, we are seeing phenomenal growth in our parishes. Mass attendance and sacramental statistics are increasing. Demand for pastoral care is increasing. Need for facilities to house ministries is increasing. We have a $2.4 million capital campaign. By the way, have you made your pledge? Right? Okay. Because we need it. Yet there's more to the story. Overall, the church in this country is dying. While the younger generations are now showing higher levels of practice than their parents or grandparents, thank you to my Gen Zers in the congregation today. Conversions to Catholicism are up. We have the largest class of introduction to Catholicism that we have ever had in this parish. There is also a mass apostasy that we would be foolish to not recognize. And the reasons for this are many indeed. We can sit there and point fingers at people and reasons, or we can go back to what the parish is supposed to be and get on with it. All over our country, parishes are dying, and priests are managing decline. I can't tell you how much I thank God to wake up every morning and I get to come to Prince of Peace, where that is not the case. It makes me very proud with the heart of a father that I get to do that. But that isn't the case everywhere. So how do we make sure that that doesn't happen here, right? Well, first of all, we have to stop seeing our parishes as cafeterias to pick and choose what we want and leave what we don't want, and sacraments as on-demand services from priests treated like a concierge at a hotel, right? Why are Catholic churches all over the place closing? Because if that is your attitude toward the faith, how is it going to last long? When some Catholics move here, they're kind of shocked by how serious we take Mass attendance and being an active member of the parish. Okay? Sometimes you have these people, they come out of nowhere and they make all kinds of demands. And then when we actually meet them, they just leave and then don't come back until they want something else. Rinse and repeat. But that's how Catholicism becomes cultural and not authentic. But let me put it to you another way. Why would you want to go to a church who could really not care less if you came to church, or could not care less who you even are? When we do this, we communicate that you are not actually cared about. And when someone comes or goes without any engagement at all, why are we surprised that it's not just the parish that suffers, but the entire body of Christ, the church, as a whole? We want you here because we love you, right? We want you here because Christ loves you. I've said this before, this is mission territory, right? And we have a lot of baptized pagans who may be sacramentalized but not evangelized. There are people for whom the faith is an identity marker, but it's not Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And so why are we surprised when Catholics who are poorly formed leave a faith they've never known in the first place, when we don't actually do anything to connect them to a real community? Right? You know, every once in a while we do this little exercise at Prince of Peace where I say, I want you to look at the people in the pew, right? Do you know who they are? Right? We're not going to do it right now, don't worry. We will at some point soon, I promise you, right? How can we know, love, and serve God and then totally ignore the people who are in the very pew with us at the worship of God? It makes absolutely no sense. In South Carolina, we Catholics are, it is no surprise to anyone who is here today, a minority. Right? We swim in a sea of our fellow Christians who think very strange things about what we actually believe and want to save us from ourselves. And also where atheism and moral relativism that deny the very existence of God and the possibility of knowing his truth is everywhere. But we're in a position to change that. God has called each of us to Prince of Peace to be part of a certain community. Our certain community has some very defined characteristics that have formed its culture, which may make it different than other parishes, who may have different emphases or ministries or styles of worship. If all of our parishes were the same, it'd just be boring, right? And I can assure you, Prince of Peace may be many things, but it is never boring, right? Here, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is the source and summit of Christian life. It is celebrated with great dignity, reverence, and devotion. The Adoration Chapel is the secret engine room of the parish, that ministry of intercession and contemplation that extends the Mass into the world. I can't tell you when we have groups or individuals who may be visiting from non-Catholic churches or even non-Christian religions, and I show them the Adoration Chapel, and they're like, you have someone who's here praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Absolutely. There's so many graces that come from that. The way of beauty suffuses everything we do. The school is the primary apostolate of the parish for handing on the Catholic faith. And the RE programs for children, youth, and adults from womb to tomb are all part of the way of truth that immerses us in being disciples, lifelong learners of the way, the truth, and the life. And this is a place where we have a commitment to serve the poor and underprivileged. to have open hearts and open minds in dialogue with others. Providing a home for the faithful and a shelter for those who are questioning and struggling. The way of goodness makes the parish a real community of real people who share each other's burdens and celebrate each other's accomplishments. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, gives us our marching orders on this first Sunday of Advent as we begin this new year of grace and embark on our next 50 years as a parish. So let us hear and let us put into practice. You know the time. It is the hour now for you to awake from sleep. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is advanced. The day is at hand. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ.